The scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. And if you'd like to follow in your pew Bible, you'll find it on page 948. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord.
My name is Winston Pratt, and I'm one of the pastors on staff here, and I have the special privilege today of welcoming two guests, and one of them who would be our guest speaker. So today we have with us David Boschart, who is the president, the new president of Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary, not, as I said last week, American Mennonite Biblical Seminary. So I got into a lot of trouble as a result of that one. And Brian Sudeman, who is the Canadian representative of the seminary here, who is the development officer and teaching associate. Am I right, Brian? There we go. Got that. So friends, just by way of introduction, as I mentioned, David was appointed president of Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary in August of last year. He has been a Mennonite pastor for over 30 years. So you have a very experienced pastor in the pulpit this morning. In 2010, he was appointed executive minister for Central Plains Mennonite Conference. David also served as moderator for Mennonite Church USA from 2017 to 2019. David holds a PhD in leadership studies from Andrews University with an emphasis on missional theology. And he's also the author of the book Becoming Missional: Denominations and New Church Developments in Complex Social Contexts. Doesn't that sound like an interesting book? And one that we should all be reading. And David has also served as adjunct professor at Eastern Mennonite Seminary and Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary and Andrews University as well. A little bit about David's personal life. He is married to Shana and has three adult sons, two of whom are married, and you have four grandchildren. Did I read that correctly? Perfect. So, David, my brother, let me welcome you to the pulpit. People of peace, give David and Brian a warm peace welcome. And let me pray for you, brother. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for David, and we thank you for Brian, and we thank you, Lord, that they can be present with us this morning. Lord, you have been speaking to David's heart, and we pray, O Lord, that the words that you have laid on his heart would be the words that your Spirit would speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, would you give him the gift of a tongue of a teacher, one who opens up your word to your people. But we pray, Lord Jesus, what you have prophesied would come true for us, that our ears would be unstopped, O Lord, that the sight of our eyes would be opened, O Lord, and that we would see you more freshly and more clearly this morning. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen.
Well, it is indeed good to be with you this morning, and it's been wonderful to be in British Columbia these last few days. I was here a few years ago in Vancouver, but spent almost the entire time in a hotel meeting room. And so it's been wonderful to have these last few days to experience the beauty of this part of the world and this part of the country, and I thank you for the warm reception we've received here. The story we're looking at today, and I invite you to keep your Bibles open because I'm going to go a bit beyond the passage that was read today. This story takes a very interesting turn early in Jesus' ministry. The beginning of this story, Jesus begins traveling around and preaching. He's a newly minted preacher or teacher. And that's the industry we're in at Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary, training people to be leaders, preachers, teachers, servants in the church, people who are competent in the interpretation of Scripture and teaching others to do the same. So this passage has a very close connection to the work that we do. We have, as you know, graduate programs, and last year, nearly 680 people from all over the North America connected with AMBS in webinars and seminars and short courses and Pastors and Leaders Week and all kinds of ways that people can connect with our seminary. That's the commercial for AMBS. Now we're going to do the work we're here to do, and that is to gather around the Scriptures and listen for the voice of the Spirit speaking to us today. So Jesus came back to Nazareth, to his home community. And we're not entirely sure what kind of formal education Jesus had that prepared him to be a teacher. At this point in the story, he's not yet labeled rabbi or carrying that title of rabbi. He's just had what we would call at AMBS his capstone experience, or his comprehensive exams. It was 40 days in the wilderness, fasting and being tempted by the most seductive powers we can imagine. Total world power, political power, total economic power, and total religious power. And Jesus resisted those temptations. And he comes out of the wilderness, it's like he's entering field experience or internship, where you get the sense that, well, there's the synagogue over here, hey, Jesus, come over here and teach today because the rabbi's on vacation. Or, oh, Jesus, there's a synagogue way out here in the boonies. They can't get a permanent rabbi, so why don't you come and fill in here? And it goes well for Jesus. He's teaching and preaching, and word gets out that here's an up-and-comer. And so his people in Nazareth, his hometown synagogue, say, isn't it about time for us to have Jesus come back here and preach to us? Music to every seminary president's ears, right? But as all preachers know, coming home to offer a spiritual word to those who raised you is wonderful, and it's weird, and it's complicated for everyone. I remember well the first time that I preached to my home congregation. There weren't any cliffs involved because it was Iowa, but it didn't go so well. Well, on that Sabbath, Jesus is handed the Isaiah scroll, and it appears that he had his choice of texts. He unrolled the scroll and unrolled the scroll until he came to Isaiah 61, six chapters from the end, and he reads these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And here is this vision of Jubilee, a vision embedded in the law of Moses, the 50-year cycle culminating in everything being set right for everyone. When Jesus finished reading his sermon, reading the scripture, he offered his sermon, and it was only one sentence long. Amen. Right. Sorry. Mine's going to be a little bit longer. A one-sentence sermon. I mean, what are they teaching kids in seminary these days? But it was a powerful message. Folks said, powerful preaching. This is one of our own. Good job, Jesus. You've got your life out ahead of you. It was only one sentence sermon. You can stretch it out a little more next time. You're young. Good job. Not too bad. You're one of Joe's sons, after all. Well, as is always the case in gospel stories, there's way more going on here than it may appear. Luke employs a literary technique as he tells this story. Look at the action verbs in the first part of this story. He went, he stood, he unrolled, he rolled, he gave, he sat. Luke is very deliberate in how he's telling the story. He slows everything down. It's like a slow motion unfolding, drawing us into this moment. It's actually the very same technique that Luke is going to use later in his gospel. Do you remember? Jesus took bread and blessed bread and broke bread and gave bread. And then when everyone is drawn into this very present moment, when everyone's full attention is there, Jesus declares this audacious message, "This is my body." Or here in Luke 4, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Today! Exclamation point. And as Luke slows down this story and brings us into this very present moment, and Jesus announces this one sentence sermon, all of a sudden, the moment's over. Everyone walks out the door, greets Jesus on the way out. "Good sermon, Jesus." Reminds me of a dear sister I had once in an earlier congregation. She was a wonderful, sweet woman, but she had dementia. And it meant that every Sunday when she came to greet me at the back of the sanctuary, she didn't remember one word that I said in the sermon that morning, but the habits of her life put her on autopilot. And so she'd get to the back door and she'd reach out her hand and grab my hand and she'd say, "That was some good chewing, preacher." Every Sunday, the same thing. Same thing in this story. Powerful sermon we heard from Jesus today. Powerful sermon, preacher. And then out to the parking lot, let's go to Olive Garden, hockey game on this afternoon. Right? But there's a gotcha in what Jesus did with the scripture that day. Did you notice that Jesus changed Isaiah 61? He starts reading Isaiah 61, but from after that first line about the Spirit of the Lord being upon him, it's a mashup of several passages from Isaiah. Jesus replaced "bind up the brokenhearted" with "recovery of sight to the blind." That's not Isaiah 61, it's Isaiah 35. Recovery of sight to the blind. In that moment of that one-sentence sermon, Jesus was telegraphing that his own people are going to need a new set of eyes to see. And they're going to need those eyes to see today, right now, in this moment. In slow motion, present tense Jesus delivered a paradigm-busting message. But the audience didn't have ears to hear or eyes to see. And suddenly, they made the sermon about everything but the message. If you read on in this passage, the congregation immediately made the sermon about the performance of the preacher and his family's reputation. The one-sentence sermon announced that everything they were waiting for, everything they were hoping for, everything they were counting on from God had come right into that very present moment. And all anyone wanted to talk about was the performance of the preacher. And then Jesus, who resisted 40 days of temptation by the devil in the wilderness, gives into that temptation, that rookie temptation of many young preachers when they're back home in their congregation, their home congregation, and they've got all this stuff they want to demonstrate to the congregation that they now know, and they're sure their congregation isn't going to get it. And Jesus sticks his finger right in their eyes. This is Luke's Jesus, right? Jesus is confrontational in Luke. Jesus is petulant in Luke sometimes. And Jesus is petulant as he addresses these people in verses 23 through 27 that happen when everything turns wrong in the passage. I just like to paraphrase those verses 23 to 27 in how they might sound to us today. Jesus might say something like what? "The only way I'm going to get your attention is with the next trick I pull out of my sleeve. Thanks for the affirmation, but I know where this leads. You'll keep raising the bar on me and my performance. You'll keep raising the bar on my preaching until I finally prove to you that if you listen to me long enough, I'll be as boring as every other preacher you listen to. And when you're not moved anymore by my preaching, it'll be my fault, not yours. Fix it, preacher. Physician, heal yourself." The message you want? Yeah, just go watch the hockey game. I hear the commercials are pretty good. Well, the folks in Nazareth in the congregation that day didn't like that very much. And rather than stay in the moment of revelation with Jesus, the crowd goes from patting their boy on the back to threatening to run him off a cliff. And all the while, in that very moment, on that very day, in that very place, the announcement of everything they were waiting for, everything they hoped for, everything they were counting on God for, the end of want was right there, present, that day. But they didn't have the eyes to see it. Now, I'm being pretty hard on the folks of Nazareth, right? That one sentence sermon from Jesus is pretty confounding for all of us. Prisoners are all set free today. I come from a country with the highest incarceration rates per capita of any country in the industrialized world. And the poor are filled with good things today. 1 in 5 children in the United States is born into poverty. And all the oppressed are no longer oppressed today. If wishes were horses, folks. What did Jesus mean? Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I think it has something to do with the eyes of faith recovering their sight. And sometimes we need to get out of our current situation in order to see. I've been to Venezuela 6 times in as many years, and the year of the Lord's favor is far from fulfilled there. It's a country that was once oil rich, where the economy is in free fall. They're experiencing 1,000,000% inflation. Everything is falling apart. But 15 years ago, a group of Christians opened their eyes and they began to read the Bible, and they opened their eyes and they saw Jesus present in their midst. And today there is a network of Mennonite churches emerging in Venezuela for just such a time as this. And they are spreading hope in a seemingly hopeless situation. And they're finding food to share in a country where no one can afford to buy food, where the average male in Venezuela has lost 48 pounds in the last 2 years. They're finding food to share, and they're finding clothing to share, and their witness is being received as great news in this present moment of crisis. We in North America are like the folks in Nazareth. We are prone to make the message of Jesus about everything but the present. Citing a survey from Public Religious Research, Diane Butler Bass writes, "A strong majority of Christians across all traditions in North America believe that our best days are behind us and that the future of society is bleak." As a result, Butler Bass says, today is lost. The present is lost for us. Today is merely a stage upon which we mourn the losses of the past, and we fear a future that is sure to disappoint us. We who make up the Mennonite Church may be no different. We remember when we were a growing movement not that many years ago. We worry about whether this church and what's left of it will hold together. In our mourning the past and our anxiety over the future, we focus our sights on performance and reputation. We fixate on the things that divide us. The church is reduced to a set of problems that need to be solved. We are wooed by more charismatic preaching and better performing churches. And when we are surprised that the church isn't the familiar one from our past, we move on to another way of being the church, and we put some distance between ourselves and all of that. We walk away from each other. Or we look to the future, And we scan the horizon looking in desperation for a sign. Just give us a sign, Jesus. Just give us a sign. Give us something to hold us in hope. And all the time, right here and now, in this very space, today, Jesus is present and speaking. The real presence of Jesus is right here among us. So let us open our eyes. Because everything we could hope for, and everything we count on from God, and everything we need to live in faith, and everything that needs to happen to keep the world rooted in hope has come right here into our present. So while we're mourning the past and worrying over the future, we miss that Jubilee has come right into our present. If the hockey game is the highlight of this present week for you, I have to ask us, what are we really seeing in our present? I grew up in a very strong Mennonite congregation in Wayland, Iowa, that's a shadow of its former self. I'm something like a 25th generation Anabaptist Mennonite, if there is such a thing. I've been a pastor for 26 years in local congregation, an executive conference minister for 9 years, just completed 12 years on the executive board of Mennonite Church USA, and served as their elected moderator. I love this church. I believe in this church. I've made promises to this church because I believe that God has a purpose for this church today. I know that no matter how we conduct ourselves as a church, no matter how many distractions, disappointments, failures, no matter how much pain, no matter if we find ourselves one day on the edge of a cliff, Jesus is alive and present here today. Do you believe that, church? Present tense Jesus is always on his way to all the broken places in our world. He is present in every moment to the poor, to the brokenhearted, to those in prison, to those who are oppressed, to those who are shackled to pain and loss. He is present to you at your own point of need today. He is present in all of those places. So the question of this text today is, where are we today? In this moment, does Jesus have our attention? Are our eyes fixed upon Jesus? If the eyes of all in this room are fixed on Jesus right now, in this moment today, what do we see? And what would we say as we leave worship today? The call of the story is about living in the present with our eyes open and being present and seeing and hearing Jesus announce shalom in every moment. We don't know all the ways that God is at work, how God is at work, reconciling all things in Jesus. We can't see that. That's a huge project for God to be doing, reconciling all that is broken in this world in Jesus. We can't imagine. We can't see all of that. We don't know how God is at work bringing all of this, these things together as one. It is with the eyes of faith that we trust and announce that this reconciliation is happening. That God is working all things to good for those who love him. The story calls us to give voice to what has come among us, as John says, to give voice to what we have seen with our eyes and we've heard with our ears and we've touched with our hands, that Jesus is alive.
We are here to announce with Jesus that the kingdom has come in this moment. Wherever we are, whatever we are doing, we can live in hope now, because present tense Jesus is alive in all the places that try to rob us of courage, rob this world of healing, rob this world of freedom, and rob this world of hope. Jesus is alive in all of those places. In a few moments, we will be coming to the Lord's table, the place where we remember that Jesus came in flesh and in blood to meet us all at our point of need, to show up at every present place and announce that everything we could hope for, everything we count on from God, everything we need in order to live by faith, everything that needs to happen to keep the world rooted in hope, has come right here into our present moment. Because as Jesus promised, wherever two or three of us would be gathered in his name, the real presence of Jesus would be in your midst, in the midst of those who gather, if they have the eyes of faith to see it. May it be so.